top headlines.
Three games tonight from three Boston teams, all on the road. We begin with the Red Sox, who are wrapping up their quick set against the Marlins in Miami. This after the 7-3 win yesterday. Mr. Johnson on the mound. He went six innings, allowed one run, six hits, five strikeouts. What was the game plan there? Did you stick to that?
I felt good. You know, Christian and I, you know, stuck to the game plan basically the whole time.
Yep.
You know, other than the 2-0 fastball up and away. It felt pretty good.
Chris Sale gets the start tonight to wrap up the set before the Sox come home for their home opener on Thursday. Then it's the Bruins who take on the Lightning in Tampa. Should be a fun one based on what happened last Thursday. Pre-game is at 7 o'clock, and then Judd Surratt and Bob Beers will have the call right here when the puck drops at 7:30 on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Bruins Radio Network. Then the Celtics take on the Bucks in Milwaukee. Jaylen Brown, thoughts on the coach?
Yeah, Brad, I think he's the coach of the year, so he'll figure out a scheme and make everything flow the way it normally flows. It's questionable, so... Brad, we trust, so
we'll
figure it out.
Oh, my.
That game tonight at 8
He's
o'clock.
He's coach of the year. I didn't know that.
It'll be heard on 100.7 WZLX and College Hoops. Villanova topped the Wolverines last night in San Antonio, 79-62, to win the men's college basketball championship. Headlines are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of New England. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Stay connected to Boston sports.
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger, dogs in the moonlight. Far away in my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. Hi, Dan.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Why are we playing this?
Yeah, well, I was wondering that, too.
What's this got to do with Dan?
What's the connection?
You do love it.
Yeah, I love it.
You just said play
Simon,
some old.
Al, Graceland. What's the connection?
I was trying to figure
God,
out.
God, you look like Napoleon Dynamite today.
Yeah, Lady Smith, Black Mambazo. Yeah. What is it?
You got it nice and tight.
It's like to play throwbacks when Dan's in.
Oh, all right.
That's a throwback.
Throwback.
Sure is.
Never play that one again.
That's new stuff in my world.
That's sad. It's really sad, Dan.
Yep.
What do you want to start with, Dan? I'm going to leave this up to you because we got all kinds of things to get to with you.
Okay, well, I mean,
right up to you.
We did talk about the UConn women a little bit yesterday, but we can say that their Final Four was way better than the Mets.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not
absolutely.
Even close.
Exciting.
Absolutely.
Yes, overtime, game-winning
good,
shots.
Hashtag good
beaters.
For the game.
Even,
good for the
even game. Great TV shots. Yeah. Like you saw the crowd, everything.
Yeah, so I mean, let's just get that out of the way. And again, when UConn's not winning by 50, it tends to be better for the game. So I'm sticking with all the things I've ever said about this. I looked it up, Beetle. Their average margin of victory is 38 this year. So, again, my theory is it makes them not ready for these moments. And but it was great for the game. Great for the game. The men's games, those were dogs, all three of them. I mean, last night you tried. It was weird when
God, Villanova's boring too to watch.
Well, yeah, they're just so methodical and they're good. I mean, they made a ton of threes in their.
I mean, they're good. Don't get me
Saturday
wrong.
Night
good.
Game. Last night nobody was making anything until that until the kid came in and got the 31. Sophomore, love him. My goodness. Dante.
It
was a good
kid.
Name. Yeah, that was good. Sophomore. So, Final Four, just a bust. Not surprised TV ratings were down. Good luck for Villanova. I do like their quote-unquote program. They tend to graduate players, have players stay there longer. It's a little bit of a different MO from the one-and-dones. So, good for them.
And, I think the one-and-dones make the game better. Sorry to put that way.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm talking about the Memphises and the Kentuckys and the Louisvilles. And you know we're talking about Cal and obviously Patino.
Yep, they get those.
And they put people in the stands. They make the game exciting, and it's high flying. And you start five freshmen, and let's go. And then they all go to the NBA, and the game's entertaining.
And then,
as opposed to a clunky up and down street fight.
Coach Cal says the greatest night in history of our program in 2010 when five guys got drafted
the
first night.
If I could just throw some fuel on your fire when it comes to Gino, did you catch the story about the tweets?
I don't know.
So the game-winning shot. From Notre Dame was Arike Ogunbowale.
Yeah, it was both nights.
Okay, yeah, both.
Same girl.
The UConn game and then again in the championship game. Well, she had tweeted, this goes back a number of years, to July of 2014. That's how far back.
The kid who made the shot?
Yes.
Yeah.
She tweeted
when she was like 16.
Yes, when she was in high school.
Okay.
She tweeted, my top five, alphabetical order, Louisville, Notre Dame, Ohio State, UCLA, Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Right?
That's a shot.
Puts out the tweet. Those are her top five teams.
In alphabetical order.
Alphabetical order.
Were those top five to go to or to watch or to enjoy? I mean, what, as a fan?
She was talking about her recruiting process personal.
Maybe those were her five visits.
So those were the schools that she liked and preferred and wanted to take, the look at. 14 minutes later, Gino Auriemma, and from an account that has since deactivated, he doesn't do Twitter anymore.
But it was a verified account.
Verified account. So it was his account.
Yep.
14 minutes later, then tweeted out, stay tuned for my list of the five players I saw the past 7 days that I have zero interest in recruiting. Hashtag what a joke.
Are you kidding me?
No.
16-year-old girl. He deserves to lose.
What an a-hole.
I mean, really.
You've got to check yourself, man.
Laura Ingram can't get advertisers because of that.
You're going to... And so there's no way to know that he was tweeting in response to her tweet. He just happened to tweet a little more than 10 minutes later, I'm going to give a top five of players I don't want. After not being on her list.
And then she sticks it up as keister in the semifinal.
Oh, my God.
She got her revenge.
Oh, my God.
Take that, Gino.
That is so good. Somehow send all that to me. I got to. That's gold, man. That's gold.
July 13th.
Yeah.
July 13th, 2014 was when this happened nearly four years ago.
She's pretty much the reason, this Arike and Ogunbowale, why the women's Final Four is better than the men's.
God.
That shot to beat, and again, it wasn't quite a buzzer beat. I'm trying to remember. I don't think on Friday night time expired when she hit the shot.
There was another shot. UConn got another shot.
Yeah, and they got a good shot off.
Pretty good look. Yeah.
So that, that didn't finish that one. But oh my God, I give them credit for this. I give credit to the women from who the hell was Notre Dame playing in the final? Mississippi State.
Yep.
Mississippi State, when she hit that shot, and it was a prayer.
Oh yeah.
For that game winner on Sunday night, the Mississippi State players didn't start waving their hands like, no, she didn't get it up. They knew. Yeah. They slumped a little bit, but they just walked back over to the side of the court.
That was a hell of a shot.
They knew it was good. They knew it was in. They didn't do anything to try and argue it, to take it away. I mean, phenomenal finish. The games themselves.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here and say that I sat and watched the whole thing, but in terms of the moments, the drama that you get at the end.
It was.
The women blew away the guys games this year. Wasn't even close.
Yeah, go back to that tweet again. Is it Gino's account that has been deleted?
Yeah, he doesn't have his account anymore.
But I mean, it had to have been him, right?
It was verified. Verified Gino Auriemma Twitter account.
So where's the ambiguity there? I mean, he did tweet that out 14 minutes.
Well, the ambiguity is he didn't tag her in the tweet. He didn't directly respond to the tweet. He just happened to tweet out that minutes after she had put out her tweet.
Are we constructing your Sunday column for you?
Oh, it's just helpful.
He's tweeting like a teenager.
He's like
a catty little teenager.
Yeah.
Arguing in the bathroom in high school. Like, you got to get... What?
Oh, that's too good.
What a joke.
That takes a certain level of jerk to
do
that.
It's a joke. Like, a team that cannot lose a game during their regular season, but gets bounced in the tournament a couple of years in a row.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, the greatest.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, good.
But it goes against Dan's point, as I told him yesterday, Hardy. When he called in, Dan made a surprise appearance on the show. Because... that the fact that
it
they lost
go against my point.
The fact that they lost disproves your point it that does, they crush everybody.
Well, they crush
and
everybody,
therefore are bad for the game.
Okay, what's
if
bad
they eventually
the,
lose? What's the diff?
That's good for the game.
I agree.
What's bad for the game is beating everybody by 38 points. Bad for the game. And then you get games that are good for the game, and they don't win them because they're not used to being in close games. These points are all consistent. I'm saying the same thing. That's all I'm saying. It's good for the game when they get in close games. Mm. They happen to lose them because they're used to being ahead by 40. That's all.
They're okay. Still bad for the overall game, but
sense.
They're good for the tournament. Because if they're going to lose in the Final Four,
it's the greatest.
God bless them.
Yeah.
Love it.
Spikes ratings.
Certainly
take that,
does.
Villanova.
I mean, the men's side was not good.
It was bad. I mean, it was weird. I mean, you had the UNBC thing out of the gate. It was great.
At least last night we got 10 minutes of good basketball. Like and, the first 9-10 minutes were okay.
Well, then Loyola was ahead by 10 points on Saturday.
But it was ugly.
It was bad, but they were ahead by 10.
It's just a bad
fast.
Game.
Yeah.
Kyle in Wakefield, your thoughts.
Hi, how you guys doing? I love your show, by the way.
Thanks.
Just quickly, I just want to kind of touch on a couple points. I know the game was a blowout last night, but I feel like Villanova is a fun team to watch. I mean, they're pure shooters. You get the sixth man coming off the bench, Dante DiVincenzo, knocking down threes. Jalen Brunson, although he didn't play that much because he was in foul trouble half the game, driving to the hoop and backing the defender in. And, I think they're a fun team to watch. Watched them all year. Really enjoyed it. And like you said, the first 10 minutes of the game was, Michigan was up. And it was a game. And then Villanova pulled away like they always do.
He makes a case.
No, you're right.
Beto, are you aware there was a local angle on Michigan team? Did you knew that, right?
What's the
New Hampshire
angle?
Kid? He starts Robinson.
Oh yeah,
22.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's
he
not,
played at Williams.
It's not like a Boston angle.
But he played at Williams. No one's ever played Division III championship game and then the Division I championship game. It's unbelievable. And he's from New Hampshire. It's a good local angle. He had a bad game.
What am I supposed to do with that?
And they got a guy named Jordan Poole on their roster. Hey. Poole playing
also
for
related? Local angle.
Gotta be related. Right?
Is he an Ian?
Plays for Michigan.
Ian.
State I'm from. E on the end.
Nice.
I don't see how he couldn't be related.
Takes the short shorts to a whole nother level, that guy.
Yes.
Oh, that's okay.
He's making a comeback,
He's the one with the ugly-ass spread eagle jump shot that got them one of the game winners in the tournament, and he had the identical type of game winner
in
high school.
He didn't have a point during that game, but that's the only shot he hit, right?
What's that, Dan?
Identical?
Identical.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us. We'll get to the Red Sox coming up next.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He popped him up. Xander Bogaerts has it, and that's the ball game. The Red Sox have now won four in a row. Final score tonight, as Hanley was the big star, 7-3 over the Marlins.
The Bats, they came alive last night. Red Sox put some runs on the board. Hanley Ramirez with a home run. Looks good, looks strong, looks healthy.
Yeah.
It's what he looks. I tweeted this out yesterday. I don't know that I've ever had as much response to a tweet ever. 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 The tweet that I had was, fill in the blank. J.D. Martinez not being in the Red Sox lineup tonight is blank. And I didn't even give an opinion on it. I did a couple of minutes later.
Yeah.
Because I realized how people were taking it. I mean, I got viciously attacked for
this. Yeah, you don't know baseball.
I know. I'm like, what?
National League, dummy.
So far, it's had 184 written responses.
Hmm. I thought it was a simple
answer. This. I would say it's like 70-30, maybe even 60-40 anti-J.D. Martinez.
Okay.
Attacking the player himself. Or attacking the contract. My fill in the blank would be J.D. Martinez not being in the Red Sox lineup tonight, this being last night, is not the fault of J.D. Martinez, is what I put. Zoe, which way did you go on this?
Oh.
I saw you attacking.
I said, the reason he's not in the lineup tonight is a sign that he is the cooler 2.0. But I also prefaced it with, and to be fair, here, buddy, it has been a hell of a pressure cooker down there to start the year. And, it really,
it totally
takes a toll on you. End quote.
Says Owen after the player. Dan, what would you say?
You guys are dripping with sarcasm, and I love it when you do this.
So, I did that for you. I did the cooler.
Yeah, you were on that.
You nicknamed Adrian Gonzalez the cooler.
Rightfully so. And
there's a lot of similarities.
I retweeted your thing about the cooler on Friday night or whatever. You were on that early on when he had the call third strike with the men on base there.
Oh, man.
Okay, so J.D., we are still waiting for the first homer. And we have that over-under thing, so one would be good. I understand. Now, it's only a five-game sample, four games for him. There were the 47 at-bats in Florida in spring training, which he did not hit a home run. So just
he got close?
We haven't seen
correct.
He crushed a ball in Minnesota. It would have been a home run, but the wind blew it back. I did see that. I have witnessed that.
Thanks, Buchholz.
You said it, he'd get close. I'm telling you.
Keep talking like that, kid. This is what Clay Buchholz used to do, too.
Right.
Well, it wouldn't be a home run in this bullpen.
And, but, I mean, we have to live under the assumption that he will hit home runs. Because, I mean, otherwise,
what are we doing here?
I mean, he's hitting 200 with four or five punch-outs. I think he's 3 for 15. He did have a double the other day. So that's two bases.
That's, nice
that's half of a home run. And there's that. So,
did you consider that a quality pitcher he hit that against?
No. And this, we haven't gotten it. If you want to launch into that now, I'm ready. Because, I mean, the state of baseball, this caste system that we now have, with you have the haves, the have-nots, the big middle. But there are so many, there's like seven really good teams, and then there's six or seven teams that have just quit and aren't trying.
Do you see the ballpark in Cincinnati?
The big middle.
Over the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bryce Harper, yep. I saw that back home.
But even down in Florida.
Oh, this is, I mean, they drew.
That's a nice ballpark.
They drew like 10,000, 11,000 for the Cubs on the weekend.
The day before, they said.
Yes, the first weekend of the season, they're drawing like 10,000, 11,000 for the Chicago Cubs in Florida when the season just started. And again, the weather's not an issue there. This is a beautiful, you know, state-of-the-art stadium. They can open or close the roof, etc. Last night, 11,000 for the Boston Red Sox. There's a lot of transplants down there. These crowds make themselves known. I have never seen teams as bad as we're seeing out of the gate. The Red Sox have, again, their first nine games. They should be 9-0 when they play the Yanks. Well, they're not because they lost the opener. But they're 4-1. Chris Sale is pitching against this AAA team tonight. I mean, unless you invoke the reverse lock, this game's already over. So they're 5-1 coming home tomorrow. David Price gets Thursday. David Price gets the ball. Game one, 2 o'clock on Thursday, and they should be 5-1. They will be 5-1, and they're playing three more against these bumps from Tampa, who are not trying to win either. I mean, it's like, we can't take away from the Red Sox. Again, this is the old tomato can Patriot thing. UConn, Patriots, Red Sox, whatever. But in this instance, so the Red Sox starting rotation, one turn of the rotation, 30 innings, 3 runs, 22 hits, 7 walks, 28 strikeouts. Great. And we can't punish them for doing their job against the people that are in front of them. But it tells you nothing. Now, you know, when the Yanks come in here and you're looking at, you know, Stanton, Judge, Gregorius, Sanchez, okay. If they can do it, then you're on to something here. Rotation looks pretty damn good, and let's ride with that. But after you get Beetle, in baseball this year, there's the Nationals, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Indians, the Astros. That's it. You got seven really good teams, and then a million who suck. And then there's sort of a big middle, Minnesota, and like that. Well, that'll be old day, you know, regular games where you got to try to win. And it was alarming that the Sox had to struggle so mightily to beat the Rays the last three times, 3 one-run games. Again, we can't punish them for winning run-run games.
That's because of the offense, not because of the pitcher.
I mean, they've got Benintendi was 0 for 13, got a hit last night, and was a fluke hit, a dribbler. You know, Bradley's hasn't hit anything. JD's hitting 200, as we know. Hanley looks like Hanley. Hanley, he looks good to me.
He does.
And these are meatball pitchers for the most part. Tampa put a couple of pretty good starters at him in the first two games.
Yeah, there was a couple throws the first two where he went out of his way to stretch,
nice
too.
Play
I mean,
late.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he seems into it.
Yeah, he's engaged, you know. And
because, I mean, you could be totally disengaged in games like this. Where
and the shoulder feels good. He got the shoulder
got the
fixed.
Shoulder
I think that's
out.
The biggest thing with him.
He's had two of his kids traveling with him on the trip. He's been, you know, he's been playing Sinatra in the clubhouse. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah, what's up with
him?
But we talked about, what the deal was going to be with J.D. Martinez and where he fits on this team. And I think here we are. We're five games in, and last night it's already highlighted that the roster composition is not perfect here because you've got a guy you just signed to a big money free agent deal, and because you're rotating guys' days off in the first week, which I understand because as much as I may say, the hell with this player, Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to play. He's going to be in the lineup. which means you don't have an available outfield spot to play J.D. Martinez every game when you're in a National League park. So it sort of highlights there's a logjam of players here when you have to play in the National League. And even when you're not in the National League parks, you still have the issue of if J.D. Martinez is DHing and Jackie Bradley Jr. is in the outfield and you have Hanley at first, well, when does Mitch Moreland get his...
He's extra.
When does Moreland get his at-bats?
Well, maybe Moreland's not an everyday player.
Maybe he's not.
In my view, that's okay.
Maybe Jackie Bradley Jr. is not an everyday player.
You're going to start to see, I think, Betts or Benintendi go to center field and Martinez in the outfield if Bradley doesn't pick it up. And I know it's only five games. He has one hit. He's hitting like 67. And, you know, we know what happens when he gets into one of these things. That he stays in them. He can be a drag. So that's worth watching.
I mean, I just feel as if the leash on that should be short.
I know.
If you're taking away at-bats from a guy like J.D. Martinez to make sure that Jackie Bradley Jr.
Beetle,
is playing, that really sucks.
They would say to you, they're not taking away at-bats from J.D. Martinez. This is designed. The plan is to play him this way.
What an overpayment.
They want to play everybody this way.
They want to rest. They want to manage rest. They want to manage
season. So that they don't fizzle out at the end like they've done. They lost 8 out of the last 9 2 years ago. They lost 8 out of the last 11 last year. And that's including postseason. I mean, they've slumped home at the end.
When you get a shiny new car, you want to take it out for the ride.
I know. People want to see it.
It puts this guy, and this is why he got a lot of negative reactions. I understand why you didn't play last night.
I was just taking your temperature last night.
It's Twitter.
That's the temperature.
Everyone's very negative. Very negative.
No one has a sense of humor.
This guy may have a chance Thursday to get a little grumble.
Nah, no grumbles. People love, you know, the people who buy tickets and go to the games.
I know
you.
Everybody always says that. Take your Peter Abraham pants off. Or Pete thinks everybody should get cheered on opening day. But how do you think your boy Price is going to get
received? He'll be a returning hero.
Based on the way he pitched?
I think it's going to be pretty good.
No, they were cheering for him in the playoffs last year, and he would acknowledge it. And he had a great first outing down there.
I can see being good for him.
He said all the right things. It won't be negative. Yeah, it won't be negative.
I mean, for all the grief that the media and, you know, the negative fans catch for being on David Price, I don't know that there's ever been a guy who's had an easier path to, like, redemption.
Oh, my God.
Like, he doesn't have to do much for people to like him.
No. I'm all in on him, Beetle. I have been.
I know you are.
I'm bullish on David Price.
You're a David Price guy.
See him the other night? He could be better than Sale this year.
I'm bullish on Hanley Ramirez.
Well, that's good. Good to be.
And I think he swung the bat well. Speaking of swinging the bat well, have you ever seen a guy crush the ball the way Rafael Devers crushes the bat?
Well.
I'm not saying hitting home runs. I'm saying just anytime the man makes contact.
Yeah. Hard shots down the third
baseline. Holy smokes.
Yep. Yeah.
Every time he hits the ball, it goes somewhere and it goes there hard and fast.
Well, I mean, again, after the Chapman thing last year on the Sunday night.
Oh, my
his
God.
His resume, his life is complete.
It's so great.
No one else. That'll never be rated highly enough. For a two-strike, 103-mile-an-hour.
As a rookie, as a kid?
He's 20 years old.
Doing that?
Yeah, that's forever there. And, you know, he's getting a lot of the high cheese these days. I mean, he has a hard time staying off it. So
He likes the chase.
You know, everything upstairs.
But he also likes to hammer the baseball.
Oh, he does.
His at-bats right now are must-watch for me.
Yep.
Hardy has our headlines. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Open phone line, 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on the Red Sox. Also, we will get into the Rob Gronkowski story with Dan coming up.
Sports Hub headlines.
Three road games tonight. We begin with the Red Sox, who will wrap up their season-opening road trip with the second of two against the Marlins in Miami. Chris Sale gets his second start of the year tonight at 6:30 after the Sox took the first half of the set 7-3 yesterday. Alex Cora.
Just stay with the process. We're not preaching launch angle or hit the ball in the air. We're preaching, you know, swing and strikes. And when we do that, we're going to be better.
Next up, another game in Florida as the Bruins play the Lightning, who will be without Steven Stamkos tonight. It's a 7 o'clock Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. That means the Celtics will be on 100.7 WZLX as they visit the Bucks in Milwaukee at 8 o'clock. Tip-off with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we got a situation.
I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet.
Thank you. Yeah, now that I digest Wicked Tuna every Sunday night, now I have my second reality TV show. Get to watch. Like the real stuff. That is CSI crime scene crap. Yeah. What's the other one? That doctor's thing everybody watched. Grey's Anatomy. My kids watch it. That's stupid.
Things have been on forever.
It ain't real.
Oh, that's not a documentary?
No, I'm saying I like the real stuff.
Oh.
Okay. But you'll be watching Jersey Shore.
Yes.
For sure.
A new one?
Grenade horn! Yes!
I don't think I've ever seen 1 second.
No?
Ditto. No, nothing.
Well, thanks, Dan. That doesn't make me feel great, but...
Dan, it's like going to Everett. Sorry. Like, it'd be like you going to Everett and hanging out at the beach.
I love Everett.
I could identify people from the show, because that's Snooki. That's
she's a
Jen Wow, you know.
J-Wow.
Thank you. But isn't her name Jen?
Might be.
Ronnie.
I call her Jen.
You got Cheesy Ronnie. Ronnie the Meathead.
Ronnie. What was Ronnie's girlfriend's name there?
She had
Sweetheart. Sammy Sweetheart.
Sammy Sweetheart.
Sammy Sweetheart.
She always chewed a gum like this and was always playing with her nails. Just got my nails done. They all worked at the T-shirt shop on the boardwalk.
We missing anybody? Situation.
Well, Paulie D. Mikey the Situation.
Ronnie.
Who's the other one? Not a good looking dude, but he's the John Hamm guy. He's got the big.
The big what? What did he have that was big?
That John Hamm thing. What's his name, Jim? The ugly one. Oh my God, we're going to have Jersey Shore updates every Monday at 10:50.
I didn't hear who you said, so I don't know who's left.
The guy with the big thing.
Situation?
No, we Vinny? Already got
Paulie D.
Vinny.
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 Yeah. Right. Say big thing. Jim knew Vinny.
We saw Paulie D at the 2011, the after party.
I was 10 feet from him as he DJed after a loss.
That
was about
terrible?
As good a time you could have after a loss. No, he was. I mean, Jim, what would that party have been if they won? Probably one of the best.
That would have been insane.
Yeah.
He's a Rhode Island guy.
Because they had LMFAO with the foam. Yeah, when they were big.
I bet he'd be in favor of Patino going to URI. You hear this story, Dan?
I did. I heard
How about
you guys.
That?
You in or out on that?
Well, I mean, again, as someone who likes to write about sports in the area, it'd be great. But I'd be blasting him.
So?
So, yeah.
Be great. Be entertained. What, do you want to write about boring stuff?
And I always get along with Rick. So, yeah, could be another source for me.
You got along with Rick Patino.
I did. Rick and I. Yep.
What did that mean, though? You never had a dust up, or
during his Celtic years, we got along fine. I think it was Holly who pointed out that Rick would tilt his head when he was lying. You know, he tilted his head a lot,
like a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
The tilt of the head meant he was full of crap.
Yeah, he'd get really up close to you and then tilt his head while he was talking. And I think Holly figured that out. It was good. I'm pretty sure Rick invited me to the Kentucky Derby once.
What do you mean, pretty sure? You don't remember if he did or he didn't?
Well, it was a wedding, and there was a lot of alcohol involved. You know, pretty sure he did. Yeah.
You were at a wedding together?
We didn't get married.
No, but I'm saying you were at the same wedding.
Correct.
Whose wedding was it?
Leslie Visser and Bob Knuth at the Taj.
At the Taj?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
This is another story in Dan Shaughnessy's life that we have unearthed, whether it be kissing Nicole Brown Simpson on New Year's Eve.
Beetle, next week I'll bring in my letter from Rick. When Rick was coaching at BU, he had stationery with his little picture on there. And he would write letters to the Globe and the Herald begging us to come cover the games, because no one would go to the games on Commonwealth Avenue. I mean, his life changed enormously after this when he was at Kentucky, where he was not begging fans to come to the games or writers. So, but it's hard to imagine, because Calhoun was at Northeastern, and Rick was at BU, and no one went to the games. And I still have a letter from Rick with his picture on there. But yes, I say that. I thought that would be worth something sometime.
Begging you to come to the game.
Yes.
So later on, you're at Leslie Visser's wedding.
Correct.
And at Leslie Visser's wedding.
Excuse me?
How many times has she been married?
Just twice.
Okay.
Yes.
Rick Pitino casually invites you to come down to the
game. Yeah,
Kentucky
we got into it. Yeah, we got talking about basketball over in the corner, you know, the old days.
Unreal.
I mean, because, you know, he was at UMass with Julius and Mike Flanagan.
You're like
and
Force
Freakin'.
You know. Yeah, you realize you're like Force Freakin' Gump.
And he wasn't exactly
the
best teammate.
He ended up at all these places. Like, just odd.
He wasn't well-liked there.
Yeah, I remember the whole team. Knew all those guys. And they had a lot of great athletes. Because Julius Erving once blocked Mike Flanagan's shot in a freshman varsity scrimmage. And Flanagan said, "That's when I knew it was time to go work on my slider." Years later, he won the Cy Young Award. 23 wins.
Good
Baltimore
athlete.
Yes.
Good athlete. Wow. Okay. So you're on board with Rick coming to town.
Well, it would be interesting.
URI's denying it. They're pretending they had nothing to do with him.
You know, it sounds very believable. I mean, I know that it's not a most credible source on that, it sounds like. But the whole thing, as sort of a trial balloon, it just sounds believable.
It doesn't sound far-fetched. You're right. At all.
You don't get, like Jim said, you don't get this much smoke. You know?
Yeah.
Unless something's cooking.
I mean, he is, you know, he's out of work. He's high profile. They would win immediately. And then they'd be on probation, like... 5 or 6 years later, who cares about that?
No, nobody cares about that anymore.
No.
Except they could start changing the rules.
Yeah.
And put pressure on schools not to hire guys like Rick Pitino.
He would be tilting his head a lot if he were here.
Why? What's he going to lie about now? Here's the problem, though. URI doesn't have $100,000 to give to a recruit.
No.
They don't have that kind of cash to buy
he
kids.
He somehow got, Herrick got Lamar Odom in there. So they must have had some funds.
they brought his guy Jerry D to be the assistant coach. That's how they got him there.
Bagman, yeah.
They all were. I was college age at that time. A lot of the basketball players were driving around big SUVs.
It's weird to think Lamar Odom played at URI. It just is.
Well,
I mean,
a lot of paper routes, cars. Cars used to be enough.
He's a big fan.
Are brand new cars even enough anymore?
Big fan of Newport.
They had a big guy named Luther Clay driving a giant Ford Expedition around.
I bet cars aren't a thing anymore because kids don't drive that much anymore.
I know, it's a problem.
So what do they give them instead?
Until my kid.
It has to be cash and lots of it.
Lamar Odom.
Amazon gift cards?
Yeah, I mean cars used to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin.
Didn't Lamar end up with one of the Kardashians?
Yes.
Yeah. Courtney?
No, not Courtney.
Who can keep track?
No, Khloe.
Khloe Kardashian.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's good. You tend to keep up with what the kids are into these days.
Yeah, I try.
We try and stay relevant.
Come on now.
Have you heard about kids eating Tide Pods?
No.
You haven't heard about that?
It was on a TV episode I saw recently.
Yeah, it was a bit of a problem a few months back. Teenagers were daring one another to eat Tide Pods. Well, they've sort of replaced that with something new, and we want to tell you what that new thing is. New stupid thing that kids are doing.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Dan likes to keep up with the times, keep up with the young people are doing. You know, just to be an informed citizen, whether it be pop culture or, you know, what they're up to. Right, Dan?
Yes, and that thing with the Tide Packs, I think it was on The Good Doctor I saw.
Tide Pods.
Whatever.
Yeah. We know what you meant.
Like a fraternity hazing ritual.
Allow me to read from the Washington Post. In case you missed the condom snorting challenge and didn't know, it's a bad idea. Let me read this to you. This is what they're doing now.
How you cut the condom up?
This is from... what do you mean?
Well, you gotta chop it into
No. Let me read and describe.
Oh.
Lindsay Bever, Washington Post, writes, imagine uncoiling a condom and stuffing it up one side of your nose.
I can imagine this.
That's a party.
Then plugging the other nostril and inhaling it until the long piece of latex slides into your throat.
Sure.
Then what? You reach back and pull it from your mouth.
A gag.
You gather that, Hardy? In the nose,
yeah.
Out the mouth.
Yeah, I'm fine with all of this so far. Go ahead.
The same breathing cavity. It goes right down your throat, like the back of your throat.
It's like a neti pot.
Who's the author of this story?
This is from Lindsay Bever, but you can Google this story. You can find it on any news website.
You never did this with spaghetti when you were a kid?
She writes, why would someone do that? Apparently for the same reason young people have dared each other to pour salt in their hands and hold on to ice until it burns. I remember that one.
That burns?
Oh, I never did that.
Oh, don't put salt and ice in your hand and hold it tight. It will burn you.
We're going to go do it next break.
Next break.
Douse themselves in rubbing alcohol and set themselves on fire.
I've never done that. That's stupid.
Or bite into colorful liquid laundry detergent packets.
Also not doing that.
Tide Pods.
Did you guys
hear? It's a game called the Condom Snorting Challenge. It's that's what it's going by. And not unlike other dangerous dares that have swept social media, teenagers have been doing it now for years.
Ugh.
What is our world coming to?
So, your freaking kids are morons. That's what they're turning
into. What is going on out there?
I'm guessing there are plenty of videos that you can see of people doing this.
Of course.
Dude, this is all over Facebook. You can't even log on to Facebook without this popping up.
Really? Yeah. You've seen them?
I don't click on the videos. No.
What?
I really don't care to see it. This does, ugh.
Yeah.
This disgusts me.
Do you guys ever make little kids, like, kiss the lamppost or anything so their lips stick?
I mean, my kid did that.
I mean, we never got anyone to do it, but we all tried it.
So watch this. Watch this. Oh, why would you do this?
Gag reflex.
Why would you do that?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
What's wrong with these kids?
Why would you even pull that up?
The hell's wrong with you?
Where are the parents?
What is wrong with these
kids? That's a waste of a good Jimmy hat. What you doing that for?
Is that $2?
So, Dan, I'd just like to get your reaction to that.
It's been a while since I bought them.
No.
No?
Dan, what were they like back in the day? Were they sheepskin?
Were you able to use your...
That's a real thing.
Lambskin?
Yeah. Lambskin,
yes. Were they like a yellow Morton Salt Man, raincoat?
I mean, like in the 60s, though, were they like leather pouches with a rawhide tie?
Did you grow up with shoes?
Your Catholic upbringing,
I know nothing. I'm still talking about the lampposts.
No Jimmy hats for you ever?
You never had that one uncle? With that one uncle, you always go over his house, like at Christmas or something. And hey, Helen, get my coat, my hat, and my rubbers. And you just, as kids, you're like, oh my God, what rubber? And he sits down, he's putting the rubbers over his shoes.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I think it's a generational thing, but I also think it's like a habit thing. Like, you know, you get used to wearing one. It's like, I got in the habit of putting one on every morning.
Yeah, you stick one in your... What?
Just in case. It's more of like a hygiene thing.
Just in case.
I don't need touching even the inside of my undergarments. Just put one on. Like a pair of socks.
Yeah, nothing.
Dan's not touching this.
No, I had a lamppost story.
Well, let's hear it.
It did sort of happen to me.
With a condom?
Oh. No. I got a...
With your tongue?
I got a basketball hoop for Christmas, and I was like 9 years old. And...
What, like a big hoop? Like one of those
like
a
real one.
Metal post.
So, no.
It's a Naismith we had
we had a tree outside, and I was in such a hurry to hang this thing. I was going to do it myself. It was obviously December. I got a ladder, and I nailed a board to the tree, and I thought you could just nail the backboard, the hoop into the board, and it would, like, stay. But, of course, it doesn't because you need screws and the whole thing like that.
Okay.
But when you're 9, so I'm out there on the ladder by myself trying to nail the rim into the backboard I had assembled. And in order to steady it, you only have so many hands. You got the hammer and nails. It might have had my mouth on the rim while I was nailing it. It wasn't good.
How'd you get it off?
You're holding the rim in your teeth while your hands were full?
A little bit. You know, if you just kind of hold it up there because you need the two hands to hold it, you know.
Did you get stuck?
I did.
How did you get
it
unstuck?
It wasn't good.
You just ripped it off?
I think I went into the house with the rim still attached to my mouth. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Where were your parents?
I was
outside. They didn't care.
I was the fifth kid, Beetle. By that time, figure it out.
Max Lane used to have a place up at Sunday River. And the only time I ever went up, and he had a nice hot tub, big hot tub on the back deck. And you go up to Sunday River, it's like 10 degrees, negative 10. Throw on the hot tub in that. And I stay in the hot tub. They go inside. I get out of the hot tub. I mean, you don't have anything on, but you go, I grab the handle, and the door's locked.
Oh,
and my hand freezes to the freaking door. And I'm screaming like, and they can't hear me because it's a pretty decent big, big log cabin house. It took about 5 minutes for somebody to come and finally find it. And I had to get the hot water buckets thrown on the handle to get the hand off the metal handle. It's stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid.
Happens to everybody, though.
Zoe, you want to try the challenge?
No. I have no interest in
sure.
that. I'll do it with spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
a long piece of spaghetti. You put it on your nose.
Yeah, that's not the same. It doesn't feel like there's the same level of danger in that.
But then you get the spaghetti out. You can do like this with it, like a shoelace. In and out.
It is amazing, though, when you go to buy condoms for the first time as a young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you think you're the only one who does this, but you just don't buy the box of condoms. You also get, like, a pack of gum and a ruler and...
some soap.
Yeah, a box of Rice Krispies.
A ruler.
Okay,
ruler.
It's like, no, but he's right. It's like when you, your daughter or your wife sends you in to get tampons, and you're like, I'm just going to go buy the big pearl box. I'm going to get like eight different things and kind of squeeze them in.
Yeah,
the
I'm also going to get a pack of batteries and, you know, some shoelaces.
Give me some of that tape.
Right.
Bag of chips.
But these are just everyday normal things.
Get a beverage.
Yes. I'm a 16-year-old boy in here buying condoms, but I'm also getting some Big League Chew. What's the big whoop?
Can't have one without the other.
You don't want to make it look like you specifically went in there to buy your prophylactics.
Yeah, I never had the urge to put one up a nose, though. You? Anyone?
No.
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 What moron came up with this one?
Kids.
What the hell is going on out there?
The kids are stupid.
Really? What is happening? 617-779-0985. Noontime hour is here. Want to get back into the Rob Gronkowski story and also a possible trade that the Celtics could be making this offseason that they may be exploring, that Danny Ainge might be making a couple of calls on.